Hello, Johannes.
Hello, Xavier. How are you?
Fine. And you? You're in Paris?
Yep. Arrived this morning. Feels great to be back. Love this city.
We will talk about your new album, El the Apocalypse. It's your fifth album. It will be released on May 12th. And it's called El the Apocalypse, which is also the first track of the album. And it's also your new single and your new video clip. May you tell us a word about this track and how important is it for the new album?
Well, I feel it's title-wise, it sums up what this album is about. I feel we have done the darkest album yet. On our end, we really dwell deep into studying darkness, mostly of a psychological nature, but also we take a good look at what's going on in some places in the world. And we are trying to find different ways to cope with this darkness that we dwell into. And one way to do it, and one way that we do it through music, is to embrace it. And therefore, we do hail the apocalypse. It's a one of my favorite facts about it I like is that 2.5 years ago, Tim joined the band as Simon left, and he wrote that song, most of it, you know, so the opening track and first single is made by the new guy, if you will, even though he doesn't feel so new anymore. And I think it feels good to put out one of the heavier songs as the first single, as a statement of that Avatar is about those bone-crushing grooves, and that riff, you know, I haven't heard that riff before. When he showed it to us, he did something truly original in my ears.
Is Hell of the Apocalypse can be considered as a concept album, or at least is there a main theme for this album?
As I said, it's not a concept album in the way that The Wall by Pink Floyd is a concept album. But it has this red thread, and it's as simple as this: when I get into working with the lyrics, it's all based on what emotional response I get out of the music we're working on. When someone shows me a riff, if I feel something, and if I feel something strong and get an image in my head, I start writing. And hence, it's all this from these darker corners of my mind that the lyrics come from. So that gives it, I guess, common themes. And again, we take a look at different darker aspects of being alive and how we deal with it. So that is a common theme in it, but I wouldn't call it a concept album, no.
From your perspective, what is your main development in your music since Black Waltz? You said it's maybe a little more darker, but is there something other, something new in your sound?
Well, we grew really, really confident after Black Waltz. Because with Black Waltz, we were able to truly, with that album, we did with the intention of that this might be the last thing we do. This, we might not continue the band. Okay. So let's truly make the album that we can live with for the rest of our lives, our last and final statement to the world about what Avatar has become. And then it became a great success, which gave us lots of confidence to keep on exploring this little path of music that we found by writing it. And, you know, I feel like we truly now found our own sound and that we are doing something that no other band really is doing. And that shaped Hail the Apocalypse, this kind of confidence and this kind of that we dare to take it further this time. There are more emotional parts. There are more nakedness in it compared to Black Waltz, and there's more, I guess more of everything in a way. Like, I think we have done some of our absolutely most brutal, heavy tracks on this one, but then again, we are now musicians able to put out something like Tower, and we did a cover of Something in the Way by Nirvana, and turned that into a thing of our own in a way that we grew into being able to do.
You talk about the cover of Nirvana. How did you get the idea to work on this track of Nirvana, and why a cover song like this?
We were recording this whole album live and in Thailand. When we were about to finish up the tracking, the live trackings, you know, of the songs, we sat down, realized we had some time left, and we want, you know, and doing a cover is something we talked about, if we could turn something, you know, if we can do it in a really, really cool way. It's very common for metal bands to do, you know, fun covers.
Yeah.
Or to metalize a pop song or something, but we wanted to do something more serious. And it was actually Tim's suggestion. He had thought about it for quite some time, and he's basically just put out, well, this is something that could be turned something heavy, and it's really cool because it's simple. It's just two chords over and over. And we started to jam around it, and it just worked. It just clicked. We gave it a good, I don't know, kind of like Sabbath-like metal vibe in a way that still stayed true to the atmosphere of the original song, according to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, covers, you usually do record them for the reason of making them, you know, bonus tracks or whatever. That's a fun thing. But since I feel we really pulled it off, it became a worthy candidate to end up on the album, and it ended up doing exactly that.
You said that you recorded in Thailand, which is something unusual for a metal band, who most of them record, I will say, in Finland or in Sweden.
Exactly.
Why did you go so far from home to record?
Well, there are a couple of good reasons, actually. One is that the fact that most metal bands come to Sweden to record, which means, and we want to do something, it's just with this strive of doing things in a different way and creating our own legacy. We don't want to copy what other bands have already done. And we don't want to, you know, end up getting the same sound as every other band does. You know, we don't want to tell the engineer to, can you give us this Entombed sound? You know, because Entombed already has that and they sound great and that's their thing, you know?
Okay.
So that is one reason. And one more practical one is that our producer on this album and on Black Walls, Justin Dead, we had a meeting in Sweden. We showed, you know, listened to our demo tracks and then discussed where we were heading with them. And he, at the end of the meeting, said, yeah, so by the way, in 1 month, I'm heading to Thailand. So, and I'm going to stay there. So we better record it there. And so we were looking into it. We realized we found this really good studio, Karma Sound Studios. And we were looking for a different environment anyway with this album. We knew we wanted to do it in a different way than last time, especially since we were working with Tobias again. We didn't want to be in the same studio again and stuff. So it just fell in place in a very, very good way.
You just start your tour, and then we will see you on stage in April with two gigs in France. Will you play some tracks of the new album, which will be released only on May?
Yes, there will be a couple of them we'll do live. We haven't exactly figured out the details, but a couple of new ones. Obviously, Hail the Apocalypse will be one of them. We already got to try it out in England this weekend, and people responded in a very, very great way. We don't want to give anything less than that to the French people, of course. So there will be a bunch of new songs and a bunch from Black Walls and so on. Maybe we'll throw in one of the really older ones as well. And it's going to be really, really cool.
Perhaps it's too soon now to talk about that, but is there a song that you like a little bit more than the others because of the lyrics or because of the music or maybe because of the audience response? You feel something special about one track of the new album?
Well, there are some that I feel a bit extra pleased about having there because of the challenge it meant to get them to where they ended up. For me, one of them is being Tower, that I originally did a version, you know, I originally wrote it just for my own sake. It had nothing to do with Avatar.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I felt like writing a few songs and acoustic guitar. And Tower was one of them. Ended up showing it for the band, and we realized that this one we can turn into something that could work for the band. And so we did jam around with it and try stuff with it to turn it into more of a heavy metal song, but it ended up not working. So it became pretty true to its original, and number one, I think it became a really, really great song, and also number two, it's something completely different from what we've done before that we were able to make it work on an Avatar album in a way that maybe we wouldn't have been able to before. So I take great pride in that one, for instance.
A word about the art cover. We can see yourself on a boat, and behind you on the sea there is an octopus on the right, and there is small cats on the left. Was it important to put the small cats behind you?
Well, I didn't really think about that. Well, the point is what the artist Andy Simmons, is his name. The instructions was just we want to put me, you know, steering a ship through a storm, mm-hmm. and the storm is symbolizing the apocalypse, and the waves were riding through the darkness, and then it's him. We gave the artist free interpretation about it, but in my world, that octopus, I always think that it's Cthulhu. It's just more enjoyable that way. Yeah. So now there's not a specific symbolism in those things, at least not for me, but it's we want to trigger people's imagination with it, because that is a huge part of what metal is about.
Is there anything you would like to add for your French fans that you will meet soon?
Yeah, that we have missed them since we were here with Avenged Sevenfold. The show we did at Zenith with Avenged Sevenfold and Five Finger Death Punch turned out to be one of the more memorable ones of the whole tour, and we can't wait to do it again. I will tell them to do what I told them to do during that show, Fête du Bordel, and we'll see you soon.
If we allowed you to own one of the five vehicles that I will tell you, which one would you like to have? You can choose between Flash McQueen, between the Batmobile, the Scooby-Doo van, Kit, the car in Knight Rider, the TV show, or the DeLorean from Back to the Future. Which one would you like to have?
Oh, now Knight Rider sounds really funny. And the Batmobile, that kind of depends on which Batmobile, actually. I have fond childhood memories of the 60s show, and the one that's, you know, the fire at the end of it when it drives really fast was a cool one as a kid. But actually, if the DeLorean is the one, I guess, would be the most useful when you think about it, you know, it can travel through time. And if we get the one that they have in the second part where it flies and everything,
yeah.
You know, then suddenly the sky is the limit for what you can do with it. So, yeah, I'm voting for... I have to say the DeLorean.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.